Earth Sky.
Welcome to Earth Sky 22, 22 minutes of science, interviews, and great music from Austin, Texas. I'm Jorge Salazar. This week, a young moon at sunset for sky watchers, and a preview of the equinox. Plus, more about the so-called hidden planet of Nibiru. Here's a scientist soundbite.
No one has seen it, but yet people seem to believe in their heart that this dangerous planet is about to come encounter the Earth.
That's scientist David Morrison. More with him later, but first, science news of the week with Michael Brennan and Emily Howard.
With a sophisticated X-ray analysis, scientists have identified why parts of the Van Gogh painting, Flowers in a Blue Vase, have changed color over time. A supposedly protective varnish applied after the master's death has made some bright yellow flowers turn to an orange-gray color. The results are published in an upcoming issue of Analytical Chemistry.
Scientists working in Central Africa announced a new species of monkey. This discovery, in an unexplored forest area in the Democratic Republic of Congo, is only the second time a new monkey species has been found in Africa in the last 28 years. The creature had been known to locals simply as Lesula. Scientists have named the species Lesula cercopithecus iomamiensis and published their findings in the journal PLOS1 on September 12th.
A new study of giant viruses supports the idea that viruses are ancient, living organisms and not inanimate molecular remnants run amok, as some scientists have argued. The study may reshape the universal family tree, adding a fourth major branch to the three that most scientists agree represents the fundamental domains of life. The new findings appear in the journal BMC Evolutionary Biology.
A new method for forecasting seasonal hurricane activity developed by North Carolina State University researchers is 15% more accurate than previous techniques. Using cross-validation, plugging in partial historical data, and comparing the new method's results to subsequent historical events, the researchers found the new method has an 80% accuracy rate of predicting the level of hurricane activity.
Conservation experts have released a list of the 100 most threatened species of animals, plants, and fungi on Earth. The list, compiled by the Zoological Society of London in a report titled Priceless or Worthless, identifies the 100 species deemed first in line for extinction. The report was released at the World Conservation Congress in September. To view the list, visit earthsky.org and search Priceless. That's our science news of the week. I'm Emily Howard.
And I'm Michael Brennan. Song of the Week is by The Calm Blue Sea, off their upcoming release. This song is called Mary Ann Nichols.
Thank you.
Some believers in doomsday prophecies warn about the future collision of Earth with a hidden planet called Nibiru, or Planet X. Could there be a planet-sized object out there with Earth's number on it? As crazy as these theories might sound, there is evidence of large asteroids which have struck the Earth in the past. Astrophysicist David Morrison wants to set the record straight on the hidden planet Nibiru. Dr. Morrison directs the Carl Sagan Center for Study of Life in the Universe at the SETI Institute, and he's a senior scientist at NASA's Astrobiology Institute at the NASA Ames Research Center. Dr. Morrison spoke with Earth Sky's Emily Howard.
So what is Planet Nibiru? What is the story there that's getting people all worked up?
Many people are afraid that a fictional planet, Nibiru, is going to crash into the Earth or come close and do terrible damage in December. It clearly does not exist, which is pretty obvious. If a planet were just a few weeks from hitting the Earth, it would be the brightest thing in the sky. No one has seen it, but yet people seem to believe in their heart that this dangerous planet is about to come encounter the Earth.
And what are there any reasons in particular that you can attribute people's belief to? Is there a source of this myth?
The concern about some sort of doomsday in 2012 is fairly widespread, and it has multiple sources. Some people don't even think about Planet Nibiru. They attribute the danger to some unknown calamity predicted by the ancient Maya. The Maya didn't predict any calamity, but there's a widespread belief that they did. Other people think there are going to be things like planet alignments. Also untrue. It's a strange story that has gained traction in spite of the fact that there's no real evidence to support it.
And speaking of evidence, what is it that makes scientists so sure that Nibiru will not strike the Earth, that it doesn't exist?
It doesn't exist because we can't see it. And we can't feel any effects of its gravity, which would alter the planet orbits if it were coming into the solar system. This is an object that by now, 14 weeks before the supposed doomsday on December 21st, would be the brightest thing in the sky after the sun and moon. You could not possibly hide it. And I find it very strange that people can continue to believe in this, even though their senses immediately will tell them there's nothing up there. There is absolutely no evidence for this planet. It's strictly a fictional thing. In fact, it was made up by a man, Zachariah Sitkin, who wrote fiction about the ancient Sumerians in books he published 20, 30 years ago. There's no evidence for it. The evidence against it is very simple. Nobody can see it, and there's been no change in the orbits of the planets, which there would be if a massive object were coming into the solar system.
Would you mind elaborating a little bit more on how the gravitational effect of the planets is evidence that it doesn't exist?
We measure very precisely the orbits of the planets. The best example is Earth and Mars. We have several spacecraft at Mars. We communicate them. We measure the distance between the Earth and Mars to an accuracy of a few inches every day. And the tiniest deviation in those orbits of either planet would immediately be apparent. If there were a massive object like a planet coming into the solar system, it would screw around with orbits. There's no way to avoid that. But the orbits are stable, and there's no evidence for such an object.
Well, that pretty much answers my questions. Is there anything that you would like to add to this?
Yes. I'm concerned about what will happen on December 21st, not because there's any external threat, but because so many people are worried about it. And young people who write to me in large numbers are scared. Some of them are supposedly considering suicide. A poll taken indicates that about 10% of Americans are worried that they won't survive past December 21st. It worries me what those millions of people will do as December 21st comes close.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard the 10%. That's a very large number.
It was a Reuters poll, and it's always a little unclear to figure out, to interpret exactly what it meant. But they concluded that 20% of Americans were worried about 2012, and 10% did not expect to survive past December 21st.
Wow. That actually reminds me, I do have one more question. How large is it that many people believe this this phantom planet to be?
How large do they think it is?
Mm-hmm.
Since Nibiru isn't real, there's all sorts of strange suggestions. Some people say it's a planet the size of the Earth. Some it's a planet the size of Jupiter. Some that it's even a small star. In any case, if it were real, it would be easily seen, and its gravitational effect would be easily detected. It's just not there.
You've been listening to astrophysicist David Morrison. We're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. Find us as Earth Sky on Facebook, Earth Sky Science on Twitter, and at earthsky.org. Deborah Bird is here with news of the global night sky, the young moon, and a heads up on the equinox. Welcome, Deborah.
Hey, Jorge. So a lot of people saw the old moon in the east before dawn near the very bright planets Jupiter and Venus recently. And that old moon is a waning moon that you see in the east before dawn. It's a moon that's about to pass between the Earth and Sun for this month. So now the moon has passed between the Earth and Sun, and it's come around on the other side, according to our view. And so now we see it in the west after sunset. So we still see a little thin crescent moon, but now it's a waxing moon. It's what astronomers call a young moon.
That's awesome. The crescent moon, a beautiful sight. How can we find this young moon?
Well, what you want to do is you want to go outside after sunset and just look west. And it'll be, the moon will be coming back to the western sky after sunset around September 17th. Around the 18th and 19th, you ought to be able to see that young crescent moon near two planets, Saturn and Mars. And at this time of year for the northern hemisphere, they're all going to be pretty low in the west after sunset, so you're going to want an unobstructed western horizon to see this.
Deborah, can anyone on Earth see this young crescent moon?
Well, they can, Jorge, and the moon is always at the same phase for all of us on Earth at the same time, but there are differences from the northern and southern hemisphere. So at this time of year in the west after sunset, we have a more difficult view of the young moon than people in the southern hemisphere will have. Like right now, it's spring in the southern hemisphere, and that young moon in the springtime from either hemisphere is always easiest to see. So, you know, you're going to want that unobstructed horizon. And you're going to want a really clear sky all the way to the horizon, no matter which hemisphere you're in, but especially if you're in the northern hemisphere.
And so what else is coming up this week? I understand the equinox is something to look for.
That's right. The September equinox is coming up. It's still a few days away, but I want to give you a heads up, Jorge. It's coming up on September 22nd. So this is the beginning of autumn, the unofficial beginning of autumn for the Northern Hemisphere and the unofficial beginning of spring for the Southern Hemisphere. No world body has decreed that this should be the beginning of those seasons. But by tradition, we start the seasons at the equinoxes and solstices. So that's this September 22nd, the September equinox.
What is an equinox?
Well, the Earth is moving around the Sun, of course, and Earth is tilted on its axis. And so as we move around the Sun, the northern and southern hemispheres trade places in receiving most of the Sun's light and warmth. And the equinox is the day that's kind of midway between the two extremes, midway between winter and summer. So it's a day that many people associate with balance. What's happening is that on the day of the equinox, the Sun is directly overhead at noon as seen from Earth's equator. And so what that means is that the Sun is on the sky's equator. And what that means is that the Sun rises due east and sets due west from all over the globe. And people will quibble about that because there are some little differences having to do with, you know, atmospheric effects and other kinds of effects that go on. But for all practical purposes, if you're a sky watcher and you want to locate the directions east and west in your sky, get them down very precisely with respect to landmarks at your favorite viewing location, you can go outside on September 22nd and look toward the east at sunrise or toward the west at sunset, and you will be looking due east or due west.
It's a great day also to pay attention to the seasons and just celebrate sky watching.
It's a good day to think about balance. And, you know, many different cultures have had different ways of looking at the equinox. And I've actually, you know, been kind of a student of Chinese culture. And so in the Chinese tradition, the autumn season is associated with some different things than we think of in the West.
Like what?
Well, in Chinese tradition, there's this idea that all of the seasons correspond to different characteristics. And so the autumn season is particularly beautiful, I think. So the autumn season is associated with, in Chinese thought, the autumn season is associated with the color white, the sound of weeping, the emotions of both courage and sadness, the lung organ, the metal element, and a white tiger. And so autumn just has these various associations in Chinese thought. But Jorge, the one I love the best in Chinese thought is that the season of autumn is associated with the direction west. And the direction west is said to be the direction of dreams and visions.
Whoa. So Deborah, where can people find out more about the equinox?
Well, so if you want to know anything about the equinox, come to earthsky.org, and we're going to have lots of stories about the equinox in the coming week. If you want to know specifically about the equinox in Chinese philosophy, come and search for the words equinox Chinese philosophy, and you'll find a post at earthsky.org that'll tell you all about it.
Thanks, Deborah.
Okay, thank you, Jorge.
Earth Sky's Deborah Bird, and we're Earth Sky, a clear voice for science. And that's our show. Thank you for joining us. This week's show was recorded at the Earth Sky Studios in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Our producer is Michael Brennan. Executive producers are Peter Zandan, Brian Britton, and Deborah Bird. Special thanks this week to our musical contributors. For more information on the science and the music you heard this week, visit our website at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
There are too many artists, too much art, and not enough genius, I believe. Science is the art of the next age. There are so many artists, too much hype, and not enough reason, I'm afraid. Silence is the song of the next age. But what we don't know won't hurt us. What we don't know won't keep us up at night. What we don't know won't hurt us. But we don't know, but we don't know, but we don't. What you don't know won't hurt you. What you don't know won't hurt you.